morning we'll be talking, obviously, about the Kingdom of God. And I was just in Disney World, so naturally you think of Kingdom, you think of the Magic Kingdom, right? You got like Cinderella's castle in the background there, and there's fireworks. I don't think Jesus is talking about this kind of kingdom, right? I don't think there are fireworks that we know of back in the day. But what is the kingdom of God like? That's the kind of the question that we're going to be asking this morning. What is the kingdom of God like? What is it, and what does it mean for us? What does it mean for us? Because maybe we're a little bit confused about it, right? We hear about the kingdom of God spoken of in church. But a lot of us, maybe we're not really sure of how to describe it or what it's like or what it looks like. But when we hear the word kingdom, we bring a lot of baggage to that. You know, a lot of times in the English language, if we hear a word, there's a lot of baggage. There's a lot of like kind of like what we understand that we bring into a certain word. We have an understanding about what a kingdom is. We understand what a kingdom is like. We think about castles and kings and queens and rulers. We think about reigning authorities and thrones and the people who are subject to that throne, right? But the kingdom, man, it's a little bit hard for us. God's kingdom is a little bit hard for us to put a finger on. And Jesus says in our passage, you can't observe it. You can't observe it with the things that normally we would look for when we're looking for kingdoms. There's this hidden quality to it, right? There's this mystery to God's kingdom. And we can't put our finger on it. We can't really see it. I mean, Jesus is saying we can't really see it if we're expecting it to look like other kingdoms. So what is it? What is the kingdom of God that Jesus pronounces time and time again? So we're going to read this passage, Luke 17, verses 20 and 21. Verse 20 says, being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God is coming. The kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed, nor will they say, look, here it is, or there. For behold, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you. Kingdom of God is in the midst of you. Let's pray together. Lord God, we pray for this morning, God. We pray, Lord, that your word would be preached this morning. We pray that for all of us, that you would open our hearts up to what you have to teach us this morning. God, would it not just enter our ears? God, that it would enter in our hearts and would move our feet. Their hold on Israel, right? And they were looking for signs that Israel would finally be vindicated and that they'd be finally able to have a kingdom of their own again. It's an earthly kingdom. They're expecting this Messiah along the line of David, right? They come from the line of David, from Bethlehem. That's what the prophecy was telling them. Right? This guy that would come in like this hero, this conquering king, to rescue Israel from the hands of their oppressors. Right? And then these evil pagan oppressors, man, they would be judged and eradicated. That's what they're hoping for. Justice and peace would reign at that long last. These are the things that scares us. We wanted this hero. When Jesus came and Pharisees, they didn't expect the Messiah to come in the form of this humble son of a carpenter, right? God was doing a new thing. God was renewing Israel and rescuing it. But he was doing it through the man standing in front of them. This penniless man. This homeless man. But they could see it, man. They were looking for different signs. This is the context where we're coming into this moment, where Jesus is stepping in and telling them, this is what the kingdom is, and this is when it's going to happen. Jesus says, the kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed. Instead, he says, this is what he says, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you. So the kingdom is already here. So the first point I want to make up. So there's 2 points I want to say. The kingdom is already here, and the kingdom is not yet here, all right? It sounds confusing, but we'll get to it, all right? The kingdom is already here, but the kingdom is not yet here. So those are the 2 points that I want to hit on this morning. So the first point, kingdom is already here. Let's unpack this a little bit for us. Just before this episode, right, Jesus healed 10 lepers. He's on his way to Jerusalem, and he was traveling between Samaria and Galilee throughout the Gospel of Luke. And we're talking about verses 11 to 19 here. Throughout the Gospel of Luke, Jesus is healing people of their sickness. He's casting out demons. He says in Luke 11, 20, if it is by the finger of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. So if it is by the finger of God that I cast out demons, that means that the kingdom of God has come upon you. But Jesus is revealing, he's saying something new is entering into this world. He's saying he's able to heal people, he's able to cast out demons. He's teaching with this new understanding, this new authority, right? He's forgiving people, he's doing things that the world has never seen before. And when he's saying, if it's by the finger of God that I'm doing all of this stuff, then that means that the kingdom of God is already here. It's come upon you. N.T. Wright, in this book, Simply Christian, he writes that Jesus didn't see his healing simply as some kind of traveling hospital. He wasn't healing the sick for the sake of it, even though that was important. Nor was it a way of attracting people to listen to his message. Rather, the healing was a dramatic sign of the message of self. Wright goes on to say, God, the world's creator, he was at work through Jesus and to do what he had promised, to open blind eyes and deaf ears, to rescue people, to turn everything right side up. The people who had been at the bottom of the heap would find themselves, to the great surprise, on the top. Remember, Jesus, right, said in the Beatitudes, he said, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Suddenly, all of that was happening. And it was starting to happen, and it was happening through Jesus. What Jesus revealed is that heaven and earth, heaven and earth was on a collision. Was the one who brought heaven and earth. There's this new power in the world. It's the power of God coming down from heaven and entering into the world. That power is Jesus. That's what Jesus is saying. So when the Pharisees asked Jesus when the kingdom of God would appear, Jesus is saying, you're not going to be able to observe and see it, the signs of this kingdom. You're not going to be able to observe it. You don't need to keep an eye out for this stuff or hunt for it, because the kingdom you're expecting is not a kingdom that's already breaking into the world. The kingdom is already breaking into the world. The kingdom of God is not a what. It's not what you're looking for. The kingdom of God is about a who. Right? And you are standing in front of that king. The fact that I'm standing here in front of you is proof that the kingdom is already here. That's what Jesus is saying. So the kingdom of God is already here, and Jesus is the one who holds the keys to it. He ushers this kingdom in. He ushers in this new power, this new reality into this world because the world has never seen it before. You see that in the power that Jesus has over demons. That in the power that Jesus has over sickness and to heal. You see that in the power of his teaching. You see that in all the things, in how he conducts himself, how he relates to people, and how he treats
here's what it means. Jesus ushers in this kingdom of God. You get to see glimpses. You get to see the power of it, what Jesus does and says. You get to see the power and the benefits of the presence of God. Right? But not everything in the kingdom has been fully revealed yet. Or yet it's not fully manifested or something. Right? So the kingdom is already here, but we see that the world still has cracks in it. The world is still broken. It's still imperfect. The kingdom is not yet here entirely. Now back in Luke 13, Jesus tells us two small parables that we went through this. He's talking about the kingdom. He says the kingdom is like a mustard seed. You plant it, and it grows and grows and grows until it becomes a massive tree. Or it's like yeast that you put into a big pile of flour and it transforms the flour into dough after time. And it takes time for that to happen. It takes time for the mustard seed to grow, to germinate, and to grow into this plant or this tree. It takes time for the yeast to infiltrate all of the flour and transform it into dough, right? It takes time for things to become what they're going to become. But once it's introduced into it, it's going to happen. It's going to happen sooner or later. But it's inevitable. Let me illustrate this way. Say you have this relationship with your fiance, right? It's not going to be a relationship that's going to be until you finally say your vows. So this is what's to come. The beginning of this partnership. You have this partnership where you start planning your life together. You start maybe consolidating your finances. Your love for one another is still growing. Your life is still being changed by you. There are things that come about what happens after your wedding day that suddenly changes your relationship. There's benefits that you can't have now, but you can enjoy. Being married is a relationship. Let me be singing when the evening comes. But you might still keep going as a couple after that. But all the benefits, all the implications of that. Bless the Lord, my soul. Oh, my soul. Worship His holy name. This is what this is the kind of thing that we're talking about. You get glimpses of your rich and your soul to anger. Your name is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness I will keep on singing. But we don't have 10,000 reasons for my heart. He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Still my soul sing your praise unending. He's not like this all-conquering hero.
10,000 years I've lived forever.
what are the concerning glimpses here? I'm just going to run through a couple of them. This is not a complete list whatsoever, but this is some of the things.
Seems like never before.
We have freedom through forgiveness.
Worship your whole.
Jesus gives us freedom to forgive us and healing. In other words, Jesus has liberated us from sickness and the shackles of sin. He offers us forgiveness. He frees us. Right in Luke 11, Jesus is healing and casting out demons. And what he's doing is not just, he's not just doing that for the sake of doing it. He's not healing people just because, oh man, this guy, I feel bad for him. I should help him out. Or that demon-possessed guy, man, that guy's acting crazy. Maybe someone should do something. Right? That's not what he's doing at all. He's not doing it for the sake of doing it. What he's doing is he's showing the beginnings of Satan's demise. The ruler, the king of this world, is no longer the king. Someone as stronger has come in. And Jesus' power overthrows any power that Satan has. Jesus sets us free from any bondage to that.
He set my feet
all of
on the rock.
He
made my footsteps firm. So many will see, many will fear. Yeah, you set my feet upon the rock. Made my footsteps firm, so many would see and many would fear. I will sing a new song. I will sing a new song. I will sing a new song.
Baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins.
I'm waiting patiently for the Lord.
The gift of the Holy Spirit. In other words, the Holy Spirit in you and me is given to us as a sign, and it tells us that the kingdom is present and its reality is now.
I waited patiently for you.
Good friend of mine.
You heard my cry. You brought me out. Sing a new song. I will sing.
One day, God revealed himself.
Sing a new song.
And how long?
Sing this song.
How long?
Sing this song.
Here, man, we go out living lives stuck in the cycle of sin and idolatry and self-centeredness, right? We get frustrated with ourselves because maybe we're making the same mistakes over and over and over again, and we're just kind of, man, we've given up trying anymore. Maybe we think that God isn't really there to help us. We don't live in power because maybe we don't believe any power exists, and on top of that, maybe we don't really believe that God has that kind of power. If this is you, I want you to be able to see that there is power made available to you because of in God's kingdom. Jesus holds the keys to this kingdom, and it's here, and it's present, and it's now. It's a kingdom that if you could somehow submit yourself to its king, you will find strength, you'll find forgiveness, you will find freedom. Will find power for life. Because this king found his power not in military or political strength, but this king found his power in weakness and humility. It led to his death on the cross. And on that cross, he took our brokenness, our weakness, our hurts, our sin, and all of that died with him. All of that died when he died. 3 days later, he rose back to life. He broke all of those chains that kept us enslaved by the ruler of this kingdom for fear and death. And he replaced that enslavement with freedom and victory under his kingdom, under his rulership, under his lordship. This is the kingdom that Jesus brings in. Do you follow this king? Do you follow this king? Do you submit to this king so that you get to enjoy the benefits of his kingdom?
See from his
hand. Wouldn't you want to follow a king who died for you so that you can
hands, his
rather
feet.
Than a king who wants to put you in shackles and slavery?
Sorrow and
but here's the other thing though. Sometimes, like the Pharisees, we get stuck in our faith because we signs that God is doing stuff so that we can just maybe we can be sure that believing in God is the right thing for us to do. But then we get frustrated, right? Because, man, we keep praying, like, God, show yourself, reveal yourself to me. Because we keep looking for evidence of God, and we keep saying, man, if I could just have that God moment, hearing about people come up here and give their testimonies, if I could just have that God moment that person had, some sort of experience with God that shaped me to the core, then I'll know for sure that God is real. Then I'll know for sure that God's real. Then I'll know for sure that God cares for me. We look for all the things that surround Jesus, the things that he can do, the things that he can do for us, the signs that he can be able to, the miracles maybe, just the zaps in our hearts that would change us. We don't even look for Jesus. Jesus says, here, it's now. Open your eyes. Don't look for signs. Don't look for things that you can observe or feel. The king is here. The king is already here. He's standing right in front of you. Let's pray. Lord God, we just pray, God. Lord, that you just work in our hearts.